Happy to be here again tonight, and want to thank Brother Baxter for his comments about my problem for my mother. I want my mother to sit on the platform with me. She will. She's as bashful as I am yesterday. Sunday when I'm doing a live show. So thank you very much. Yesterday she was turning over with a check at 8 for tonight. So, now, she can still do it. Everyone thinks about their mother, you know. I think mother, the good true mother, is the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, mother. Mother gets them first. That's the one that brings them up first. It's mother. And so we're happy to be in tonight. Sorry that it's raining the way it is, but we're just going to go just the same. That won't hurt anything. And many who was standing, I believe there was some seats down the other end if they wished to. But I'm just making whatever way you feel the best, that's the way to be. That's what we want everybody to do, is to feel the best that they can. And that's my reason I'm here, is to try to help those to feel their best. There are many times that I know that I make so many mistakes and fail in so many things, I'm ashamed of myself. But in my heart, I'm trying all that I know how. I'm just doing all that I know how. And if the day when it's over, And if he turns me down at the day that's over, now I know each night some dwindle away, but if at the end of the road he turns me down, he's still just, you see, he's right, because if I had to live and there was no heaven to go to, if there was no such a thing as heaven, I would still want to take my life a Christian. It's just so much better, so much peaceful and everything, to know that this blessed hope that we have and to live for him, and there was no heaven, I'd still take my charge of being a Christian. I've tried both sides, and I know that it always is best to be a Christian. But oh, how many infallible proofs we have that heaven is, and we're going there someday. And just as sure as we're in Christ, God shall bring those with him who are asleep in Christ at that day. And so many people try to work themselves into it. So many people try to do so many merits to get in. It's not by good work. It's not by your merit. Nothing you could do or nothing that you could work yourself to. It's believing him. It's simply by faith are you. There he hangs on the cross. You'll never have to stand the judgment. God judged your sins in him. See, God judged him and he took your place. Is that right? We were guilty, alienated from God, without hope, without mercy, Gentiles carried away with dumb idols, aliens from God, and Christ took our place. You notice, Abraham slept, Isaac slept, Jacob slept, the patriarchs slept, but Christ died. Separation. In his death, God wasn't with him. He had to suffer the absence of God in his death that we would have the presence of God in our death. And there God struck upon him our judgment. And there's our judgment. Some man's sins go before him, some follow. Let's confess ours now, so it'll go on before us. And Christ met our judgments, and God, in the Garden of Eden, when he pronounced death upon the human race, the day ye thereof, that day ye shall die. Every human being. And death means separation. That's the reason we call it death for one another. We just separate from one another. But there is no death for a Christian. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's it, never die. heedeth my words, and he that heareth my words, John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, passed from death into life, shall not come into condemnation. Now, then God upon Christ put my sins and your sins and before them to Calvary. He put my sickness upon him. He put my iniquity upon him. And there he paid the supreme sacrifice for you and I and every human in the world. Every person that ever has an ailment was healed at Calvary. Every sinner that ever was or ever will be was forgiven at Calvary. But the thing we have to do is accept it. See? By whose stripes we were healed. Past him. That's when he done it. Every certain religious group of people at Louisville, Kentucky, teaches that if a baby dies and its parents did not have the Holy Spirit, the baby will never be no more. That it's finished forever. And I was discussing this recently with one of the people. I said, oh, that can't be. That poor little innocent baby has no control of it. Why, it had no way. How did it come here? It couldn't help being here. It couldn't help because his father and mother were sinners. I'll say this by the authority of God's Word. Every baby that's under the age of accountability dies, goes to glory. Yes, sir. Christ died to take away the sin of the world. And when you come to the age of accountability, we were all born in sin. But when he died, he's taken away the sin. And when you come to the age of accountability, then you're responsible from then on. See? It isn't, you're not responsible for something you did not do. Christ died to save you, to take away the sin that Adam caused. But when you sin, you have to confess your sin. First, you have to confess it. But the baby's done no sin. It's not accountable for what it does. And Christ died to free that baby. And if it's born of a parent, drunkard, whatever they might be, that baby goes to heaven. I believe it. And I believe it'll come to the recognition of the cross when he gets there to know that Christ died for it. I believe that. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm a great believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I know what he's done and what he is to me tonight is more than life to me. I just get to talking to you and get past my place. I won't take just a little time. Many of you might be wondering why I'm not attending this service for a while. I just will get in first place just 25 and 30 at night to stand on the platform and so forth. I'm just trying to conserve myself to hold out for my friends. This will be the longest meeting that I've ever held. And Brother Lindsay told me, he said, Brother Branham, just go up and preach a few nights and hold yourself over. Because we just come right out of a big meeting and then went right home and then just constantly on the run and then right in here again, going right out of here, right to Kansas City and right on into California and hard telling forth from there. And it makes it pretty hard. You see, well, just this meeting would be different, but I never want to let myself get too far out again like I did the other time. Sitting at the platform for 8 days and nights without eating. Eating at the platform, sleeping on the side of the pulpit in the prayer line, still standing. I just lay down and sleep a little bit. Wake up and I hear that music is only believe, only believe. They put me in the car as you're sleeping. I couldn't sleep then. And they put me in the car just be used to them in those interviews about 5 minutes. And I started to go home. I drive up the road. I had an old Ford. It was just about gone. And I would drive up the road a little piece and stop. And I pulled all the hairs out of my hands, thinking my hands right now, trying to keep away, praying to the sick people, to wake myself up. And I hit the side of my knee on the old Ford, so I beat the side of it out like that, trying to keep away, making sick calls. I remember a little joke, not a joke, I don't mean to say it that way, but just something that was kind of funny. I was going up the road and I got so sleepy I'd hear cars blowing, I'd be on the other side of the road. But one time I woke up and I was way out in the cow pasture with my hands out saying, it'll happen, sister, if you just believe.
praying for the sick. I thought it was praying for the sick out in the cow pasture. My wife, listen, I got home and she tried to put me to bed and I couldn't sleep. Well, it was lined up all around the house. And I woke up, I had a pillow hugged up in my arm like this, saying, God bless you, honey. You sure get well. And she was standing there crying and shaking me. She said, honey, what's the matter? I said, oh, and I thought I was praying for the sick. I laid the pillow back down and I go over there and I remember just barely got to sleep. Just barely asleep. And she went out and had this little old two-room shack. Old as it could be, and he had an old quilt and the door shoved together to keep the chickens from taking the horn out. I remember laying across the bed and it was tired. I just couldn't move. My little baby didn't know me. I'd lost so much weight, my little girl. And I went in and I laid down. I heard an old car coming up and stopped. Missionary journey. I just
love to read about while you're turning. I see someone getting in the Bible. I love to read about those things and those things. I was thinking of Peter up on the housetop waiting for dinner down at Simon's house, the tanner, down at Joppa. And Cornelius, a righteous man, good man, was in prayer, and an angel came to him and said, send down to Simon the tanner and ask for one Peter who will come tell you all things. While Peter was on the housetop, he seen a sheet let down full of all kinds of creeping things. And rise, lady, he had a vision. I thought of here come when Paul was passing through by Philip's house. He had four daughters, and they were prophets. And when they went in, thus saith the Lord, this man will be bound when he gets to Jerusalem. I thought of a vindicated prophet of God came down from Jerusalem, seen Paul perhaps standing in the yard there, and walked over and pulled the last girdle string from around him, tied his hands, and said, thus saith the Lord, the man that this is bound to be bound in chains when he gets to Jerusalem. Seeing the visions of the people, then to read of Paul, storm, he told them that don't loose from this place and go, because it'll be to your harm. See, God's always had ministering spirits. I believe in it. I believe in ministering spirits sent from the presence of God. The Holy Spirit, minister, lead the church, guarding angels that watch over. Her angels always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Is that right? Notice, 20th verse now, when Paul was out there and the storm was fearful, and when there was neither sun nor stars, many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope. Think about that. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and all hope is gone. Maybe you're a little bark that you're in, sailing across the earth. All hope is gone. You got cancer. Something else. Tuberculosis, heart trouble, or something that'll kill you right away. Remember, a person's got cancer, heart trouble, or TB, something like that. Something is done right away, they're not going to live long. Heart trouble is number one, cancer is number two, tuberculosis is number three. Notice, all hope is gone. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, call my. I believe he's in down the gallery praying, don't you believe so? You should have hearkened to me and are not a loose from Greek, and to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Think of it. Why would you say this, Paul? It's still just as dark as it ever was, the storms just as hard as it ever was. What makes you stand so boldly now? Everybody, 14 days and nights, no sun, moon, stars, or other ship blowing, wind blowing, I didn't know where there was that out in the middle of that ocean, if he was ever out there. Well, the biggest of ships now look like a peanut shell almost on those waves, and what would those little old ships then look like? All hope is gone. Paul said, sir, I love that. You should have listened to me, not loose. But there'll be no loss of life from this ship. What? 23rd verse. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose servant I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Listen at his faith in his vision. Wherefore, sir, be of a good cheer. For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me.
Oh, don't you just love that? It'll be as if it's home to me. If the angel truly comes from God and is sent from God, it's bound to be a direct message from the Lord. Now, I want to just bring an instance that I told you I would tell you. Run a prayer line. Does it bore you for me to tell you those instances? If it does, I'll just start. I'm only doing it to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with me. And some of the ministers tell the other things through the day services and so forth. I've got to get something if they... A book, friends, that thick, 300 or 400 pages, wouldn't hold the testimony that the Lord has done directly. No wonder he said these things, that I do greater shall you, or I go to my Father. Now, notice this one thing. For your faith, that you might have perfect confidence, when you're told anything, stay right with that. Don't you leave a bit of it. No matter how she twists or blows, you stay right there. God promises, God will do it. Is that right? Now, in the gift working, the Word will do it itself. But the gift working is a double confirmation of God. Now you're sitting here, all of you looking at this way and listening to the Word. God in heaven knows I do not see a person that I know. Only there's one that does know you, that's God. God knows all about you. And God can heal you. Now he sure first, his Word tells you what he will do. God's Word says what he'll do, gives you a promise. We all believe that, don't we? It's God's Word. Then he sends a gift down into the church. And now, a gift, people, now I love you all. God knows that. When this life is over, I want to make an appointment with everyone standing at this meeting. Just to spend 1,000 years together, just one day to talk things over down by the sea of life. This is one of the smallest meetings I've ever had, smallest audience. But it's been one of the most sweetest and glorious meetings that I've ever been in my life. There hasn't been too many miracles. There hasn't been too many things happen. But just a sweet, heavenly atmosphere. Now, I know what it is. It's groups of people that never knew this glorious, matchless way that are coming in daily, giving your hearts to Christ. And that pleases the Father. That's what is happening. Wish I had a way to stay in Cleveland or leave and come back again. Right? Because here's where it needs it. Looking around over the city and seeing the conditions. Walking in the city and seeing many people go out. This gift is a pioneering. It must go into the places. If it's bring forth, there'll be people who will follow me in here. Gospel ministers and so forth with revival. But first, before you can get the people, there's got to be a godly demonstration or something to pull the people, to let them recognize that it is the truth. That's right. And now notice, the meetings are glorious, wonderful, and I love you all. If must be confirmed. Anyone can say anything they wish to. And they can have impressions. But when God really sends something, he'll vindicate that to be the truth. God will speak of it. The Bible said in Hebrews, God testifying of his gift. Hebrews 11, 2. That's right. God testifies. Then you've got God's testimony. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. You believe it? When He comes to you, He'll testify that it's there. All God's gifts testify. There's nothing to try to make believe. That won't work. You've got to be positive. Now, a confirmation of the presence of God is that He shares through the Word, then He shares through gifts. Now notice how they work and how they are confirmed. Quickly, I shall hurry quickly now, and your faith is getting real high. I believe just about as high as I can see faith rise. The thing you need now is to let your faith loose. See? But what you're wondering is to get up here on the platform seeing those people kneel here. But if you just turn yourself, your faith loose out there where you are, it'll be just the same where you are. It's your faith anyhow. See? It's your faith. Only faith is the only way you can get it. From God. Anything. You get salvation, forgiveness. Anything comes from God through faith. Believe it. Accept it. No matter what it looks like here, we don't look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. Is that right? Anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See? You have to accept it by faith. Then when he comes into you, you understand it. You accept healing the same way. Stay right with it. Not what you look at, what you believe, what you understand to be the truth, what you're looking at, the unseen. You stay with that. That's why all these visions. I just lay my life right on any for it. Never fails. I have faith in it. I believe it. If I can get you to believe the same thing, it's over then. Now, quickly to a vision. I told you I'll tell you tonight. I'll just take about 15 minutes on the time. It happened 2 years ago. I was in my room right after a big meeting. And I've seen a rocky, hilly country. Just as natural. It's not what you had. It's not a dream. A dream is a dream. A vision is something you're looking at like I'm looking right now to you, or you looking to me. Sometimes I'll be standing right like this. I've sat in my room. Been sitting in my room talking to my family and moved completely away and be gone for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And I've sat perfectly still without a speck of breath. That's what medical science can't understand. There's not even a speck of breath. You could put fine thing if you want to around my nose, and not a bit of breath, they tell me. But my respiration heartbeat just the same. What they don't understand. Taking out into another country, another world. And when you return, you have just exactly what God has said, and it never fails. And it can't fail. It's God. I know it seems maybe pretty strange for somebody to think that a person without even a grammar school education or something like that to make these statements and say, oh, where could it be? It would be something. If gifts come, it would come to some great church. Perhaps say the, if someone said the other day, I remember my people raised behind me, I'm Catholic, and I have nothing against Catholic people. They're just as good as anybody else. That's exactly right. We're born again. If the Protestants would be just as true to their belief as Catholics are to theirs, it'd be a lot different. That's the reason you notice they bring a Catholic to this platform. Brother Eve, I know what I'm talking about. They believe in what the priest says is right. That's right. What the priest says, that's law and gospel. And if they can see the signs and wonders performed, then they believe me, and that's all they have to do is believe it. See? And it happened. Now, these gifts and callings without repentance, now notice, God works these things out in His own way. Now, in the room, when it happens, I become a semi-conscious, leave the
earth, somewhere, return back, see just what's happening, and tell the people, write it down, and maybe some has this piece and fix it down how to ruin your Bible. I told it all over Florida, up through Central America, through Canada, down through Windsor, back down into the eastern part of America before it happened. He's wrote my book, which is coming out. Already put in the book. The vision, this is one vision that never has been fulfilled, but I said, thus saith the Spirit of God, it shall be fulfilled. And before the books come off the press, the vision's fulfilled. We'll go take it up. Approve it. Now, I was in a vision. I saw a rocky country all around. I've seen a child about the age of this little lad laying here now that seems to have a verbal affliction. And he was had dark hair, dark brown hair, a little flat-looking face, flat nose, a cute-looking little boy, about 10 years old, but very poorly dressed, laying dead on the side of the road, killed in an accident. And I went by. The angel Lord said, can the boy live? I said, sir, I do not know. And he showed me how to get down before the boy, and I laid my hands up on him. They fixed and take him to the morgue or somewhere. And the boy came to life and lived again. And I began, has anybody here heard me repeat that before? Let's see your hands. Yes, sir, there's people. All right. I'm fixing to tell you the story now. How it happened. And you're witnessed by an entire nation. That's right. For the chief governors. I went to Miami, Florida, Dr. Bosworth's meeting when it began. I went down there, we had a little meeting there that night, I beg your pardon. I went down there to assist a little boy in a couple nights meeting, and they turned the tent over to me. It's a little boy, little David, we prayed for the other night when he had been unconscious. And I went, he asked me if I'd come down and spend the night with him, and I went down to spend the night. The night before that, I had the vision. I thought, well, the reason I went, I said, it may happen down there. But it looked like a rocky looking something. And so I said, I couldn't take my mind too much off of it. I just watched so I would know the country. Just exactly when I seen it. And when I looked at seen what was taking place. I went into this, looked to the tent, a tent about this size, I suppose. And I told the people, I said, somewhere there's a little boy just right how he looks. He's going to be raised from the dead. All of you write it down in your Bible. And I said, if it doesn't come to pass, you people who take Brother Lindsay's paper there, the little voice of healing. I said, Brother Lindsay, put that article in the paper. I said, and Brother Lindsay witnesses this himself. So we went ahead, and the next afternoon, there'd been a little boy drowned in the irrigation ditch coming through out the west side of Miami. And when I went to the tent that night, they had a group way back there that said, he's a little boy drowned this morning, and he's laying back here now. They haven't taken him to the morgue. And since you mentioned that last night, the people wondered that this is the little boy. I said, I'll be glad to. And the ushers and many of the ministers taking me back, I said, now, you remember what the little boy looked like? So I went up, the little boy was about 5 years old, cold, black-headed. I said, no, that isn't a child at all. So I said, this boy's between 8 and 10 years old, got a funny cut hair, kind of like chopped off here in the back, like his hair is... this little boy had a very neat haircut and a little bitty fella. I said, no, that's the wrong boy. He's too young. I said, that boy isn't about five years old. And I said, this boy's about 8 or 10. Huskier and that child, that little boy was dressed pretty neat, but this little boy's all his clothes are all off of him almost. And I said, I'm sure it was an accident by a car. So it looked like he was all beat up and tore up. I said, but anyhow, and I offered prayer for a consolation of family. And a minister from Indianapolis was there by the name of Raymond Huckster. Many of you might have known him. And he was with the little David. He buried the little boy a couple days afterwards. I went on up to telling the people in the meetings everywhere. I said, now there's one vision that hasn't come to pass. A great master vision that's going to stir everything. And went on through Canada. And many of you, as you know, have been in the meetings. I said, write it in your Bible, for thus saith the Holy Spirit, it will be. It has to be. And Kuopio, Finland, we were up there, which is way up near the Laplands, the land of the midnight sun. Now, I've been up in a tower fasting. Many of the ministers have been up there. I had one interpreter, Miss May Isaacson. Many of you might have noticed her. And So she was an American, Finnish American. And we came down, and there was an Englishman there from England, was drunk and going on, but the singing of the songs on Golgotha. And they all sing their songs in minor. I like that. I like something you feel in your soul. A feeling. I like Jubilee songs. Brother, get me near my God to thee. Jesus, keep me near the cross. That's right. Those are the things that get down in my heart. And the men, we were sleep time leading to Christ. Brother Lindsay, Brother Baxter, a group of us. We got in the car and started down the hill. Many of them went on. And most of them over there, I realize I'm speaking to Finnish people. And they're very poor. If some of you American women, young women especially, had to dress like them poor Finnish girls, great big thick clothes and all that. But they're lovely, just the very cream of Christianity. And so we, coming down, they had a taxi up there, horses and buggies, or taxis, going down the hill. Well, many of them went on, and I stayed back with some ministers, and Brother Lindsay, Brother Jack Moore, and I, and Ms. Isaacson, and two more ministers. Was coming down the hill, and cars are very, very scarce in Finland. We've seen a time where we had 10,000 or more gathered, and thousands standing on the street, and maybe five cars. That's gas needed about 65, 70 cents a gallon, and the cars cost about $4,000 or $5,000, you can imagine. Now, then, coming down the mountain, we come way down and was going out. I was back there. They said, Brother Branham, can't you break your fast and eat just a little? I said, no, the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to eat. I went on down. I thought there was something odd. And all of a sudden, I looked. I seen crowds gathered on the road. And there's a little boy had been run over by a car and killed. It's two little boys was crossing the road, and the car hit him straight this way. And it hit one little fellow by the chin and just rolled him over that way. About a 35 Ford sedan, driving at speed about 60 miles per hour, and drove the little fellow that way, and they got him in the car, in another car, and it took him to the hospital. But this little fellow hit him square as it turned to try to dodge the children, knocked him across the road to the north, and the other little boy fell to the south, and knocked him to the north, run over him, mashed him out of the car, and kicked him out from behind the car the wheels did when it run over him. And he was laying on the side of the road, all bruised up, like over way over the grass, as far as that post is. They had something over him. Very pathetic. And Brother Lindsay crying like a baby. And then when we got out, this great group of people gathered there, and the mayor of the city, they call him the chief governor there, I think, or something which seems about the same as the mayor of the city, was standing by. And when I got there, they said, now here's what they said, Miss Isaacson told me. They said, here's that miracle worker from America. Let's see what he'll do about this. See how the Satan, oh my, we'll see what he'll do, like I could do anything about it. But in all God's wise providence, how you think? Now, I looked at many children. When I got the little child there, looked at it, I said, say, I've seen that baby coming. So excited, I have a little boy that's a little larger than myself, and I was thinking about that poor mother. Heartbroken, her little boy laying dead, coming home from school, a little fellow dressed real poorly. But being so worked up over that, and hearing Brother Lindsay crying and all, and I was crying myself. I couldn't help it. Anybody's got a feeling for human beings if he's crying. And Miss Isaacson was crying, Brother Moore. And I said to Miss Isaacson, I said, ask that pastor if that little boy had come to his church. I said, no. No, I had to talk back and forth to that church. And I said, well, ask if he's ever. I kept wondering, where about seeing that child? And I said to Brother Lindsay, Brother Moore, I said, I've seen that little boy somewhere. I looked at him again. I thought, well, I talked over the little talk. I said, how long has he been dead? Oh, well. Oh, still. Well, now, folks, his eyes set way back. Dirt. little blood hanging on his face. There he was all mashed up, and one little leg sticking up like his little hands inside like that. All time. We're just rolling on the cross. And they were all crying. And I said, oh, Father, be merciful. Console the dear poor mother that's going to hear this news. And a father, I said, have mercy upon them. I looked back at the child. I said, I just can't get it out of my mind. I've seen that child. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me. That's the boy that I showed you in nearly 2 years. I said, all right. I know him now. I've got to have the Holy Spirit of God. The boy is going to come back to life. Oh, my. I said, Brother Moore, get your Bible. He wrote. I said, that's the little lad. Look at the description. There he is, just exactly. He's going to live again. Oh, my. I knelt down according to the way the scene of vision, laid hands up on the little fellow. He let out a scream, and there he was, back to himself. The people didn't know what to do. Normal, not a broken bone in his body or nothing. Just as normal as he could be. Went on home. 2 days, the mother of the other child, father, laid on the steps of that drag me out. I say they stirred the towels and stood in the streets everywhere. Little crippled girl I remember going in that night, I never shall forget that testimony. I was going in that night, two officers would take you down, two men behind. We were going in, none of us could speak English. We had to meet you about 2 city blocks away to get into the line, to get to the auditorium. I was starting in, and I happened to go through it. There was a dormitory back there, and I noticed must have been the little girl been to one of the restrooms. And coming through, I shall never forget this testimony. Have I got time to get it? Now, you bear with me a minute, will you? I just have to bring this in, this testimony. It's so sweet. I looked, and here was a poor little Finnish girl. And she was in braces around her waist, down around her leg. That leg was paralyzed, scarred her. Big shoe was something in her toe of her shoe, come up, went over her shoulder, and hooked back there by a snap in the back. She had 2 crutches, and she looked at me like that, and she was trying to walk across to me, and her little baby blue eyes, tears running down her little cheek. She smiled, she looked at me. Her little marks looked like she just was jumping. She had her little crutches, and she looked at me, and she wanted to get close to me when I passed. I got a little girl home, too. I got one in heaven. She died about 10 years ago. She'll tell you about Sunday. Then I looked at her. I know she wanted to come over where I was. That poor little thing, I stopped. She set her little crutches out. She takes her little shoulder, point it back, to make that strap for her toe. I believe it helped. And she set out there in these big braces on both sides with support to make her, for their crutches, so she could make a step. It didn't have to be lent, and she had no way to hold herself. Can you hear me? Like that. Now I just stood still. She was behind me, stopped, tried to push me on. I couldn't tell her, no, I just stood still. And we could use it. And I'd get out on the street when all of them get in the auditorium. And I'd go down where all of them little kids were, you know. And I'd give them money. Oh, my, that was singing kids all over there. There's a little group meeting me out here every night. The sweetest little fellows. And I just love little children. And the little Finnish girls, they pull their little skirts out like this and say, peaches. That means thank you. I'd have given some money, you know, and they'd say, peaches. I see her coming up to me. And she got close. I wonder, what does she want? And she got right up close to me. She took her little brace and stood. And she, them little baby blue eyes looked up at her little lips and quivered. And she got a hold of my coat. She pulled it up close to her, kissed my coat, let it drop back. She got her little crutch, moved back, looked up her little lips, screaming, pulled her little skirt out and said, oh, my. My heart looked like a cat out of me. I knew that baby was cheating. That attitude crawled ahead and couldn't keep it back from leaving that child. No, sir, that angel said, if you get the people to believe you, that's right, that child believes in childlike simplicity. Yes, sir, I know that baby was healed. I was trying to tell them, you're healed. You can remove your braces, you're healed. God has healed you. And they said, push me on. I went on out to the platform. That night after service over, there's a lot of crippled people there in the line.
You'll get the boys of healing, and yet you'll notice that whole armloads of crutches and things there where people can take laughing in their home. I was just getting a little rest and fixing to take me. And I said, let's have about 10 more prayer cards called. He said, what number shall you call from? I said, call from a certain number. And I turned around like this to get a drink. And I was the first one on the platform. Oh, my. Her little heart was just jumping, you know. Trying to get to me, pulling herself back like that. She got real close to me. I said, sweetheart, come here, Sister Isaacson. I want you to tell her that she was healed out there. See, go down on the side of the platform before this audience, one limb a little shorter than the other. I said, and when they take the braces off of you, let her hands go right down like that as she goes off. You're healed. I went ahead, brains. She went over there. I said, Jesus. And she got over there. She took her braces off. Where she come back down the platform, running with her braces overhead, screaming and crying, run up and down the step as far as she could go. And it happened to be one of the specials around there, her daughter. Then we had a stir, sure enough, in the city to meet all the people. The next day, somebody keeping them away, and trying to keep the people out. And so Sister Isaacson, Brother Branham, said, that little boy, the other little boy was hit. Said, dying. This is the third day, and said, he's dying. Said, they want to speak to you. I said, well, bring him on up. I went out there, and I was the interpreter. They said, we come, but I said, what do you want of me? We want you to go heal our little boy, like you brought the other one. I said, look, sister, brother, I can't do that. That was a vision God showed me 2 years ago. But if you go down to the hospital and raise our little boy, he's going to die, and we love him. I said, sure you love him. But I said, I can't do nothing until God shows me what to do first. I said, then if he tells me something, well then, she said, go. I said, no. I said, look, if I wanted to find favor with God, if I wanted to favor something, I'd try to find favor with him first. I said, now, look, I don't say your old boy will die or whether he will, I don't know. I said, well, if the other could be raised from the dead, sure, our little boy could be saved from death. I said, God can do it, but I'm just his servant. He has to tell me. So, he said, I said, you gave your life to Christ, your little boy dies, now, and you are not Christian, you'll never be with him no more. But if you die, if he dies, and you are Christian and you die, you'll go up to heaven and be with him forever. Well, they seen that was a good proposition. So they asked what to do. We knelt down there, and I had them to repeat prayer and to give their hearts to Christ, which they did. And then they raised up, and they said, go in and ask God what to do. Well, I said, I shall go in and pray, and I'll let you know. I said, we'll wait and find out what he says. I said, that's very lovely, but he don't have to answer me, see. He might not answer me for a week. He might not answer me. He might answer me in an hour. But you go on home, and I'll tell you what he said. So no, you go out to the hospital. I said, he can answer me in this room just same as he could at the hospital. I said, go and believe him. And whatever he says, if he says your baby's going to die, I'll send you word. If he says your baby's going to live, I'll send you word. But I can't say until first he tells me. All right. I went in and prayed. Nothing. I went to the hospital. A little boy getting worse, thinking all the time. That night passed. That was the night the little cripple girl was with me. Then, next night, come along, nothing had happened. I went, and all those people were frantic. They'd call every 15 minutes on the phone, really. And Mrs. Isaacson, what has the Lord said about our child? Nothing had been said. I went in that night, my brother Howard, standing over here, working with Rabbi. He went in with me, and there's candy over there. The poor people don't have sugar to put in. And he got a whole two little pieces of candy that day, about that big. He said, brother, I'm going to give this to you. As one of Brother Baxter went to his room, Brother Lindsay and them were. And I had a room to myself, so I can always be alone to pray. I took these two pieces of candy and went in. And as I went in, I laid them down like that. And I walked over there to the window. It's still light. Don't get dark at that time of year. And I raised up my hands and I said, oh, great Jehovah. How marvelous. At the window. No hotel. I said, oh, you're the spring of all goodness. You're the fountain of life. You're the beginning to the ending. You're God. Began to praise him from the window. down to that little girl tonight. How I appreciate working for you, Father. And I turned around to walk, as I turned to look this way, turned around, I looked at the Bible in my hand. There he stood, looking at me. He set his vase down on the table. And in that vase had two American Easter flowers, we call them, daffodils or what, you know. Bright-looking daffodil Easter flowers. I may give that the wrong name. I don't know nothing about flowers. But anyhow, I call them Easter flowers. And they went a little vase about that time. And I looked at them, and one fell to the south, and one fell to the north. And I looked at that, he said, that's the two flowers. And the one to the north raised up, and the one to the south raised all the way up, and went up and down. The one went to the north was a little margin to come back from the dead. And this to the south was dying, going down. Now, for old God have mercy, I looked at it, and he said, what does your brother give you? And I said, candy, sir. And look, he said, eat it. Now, I picked up one piece of it and eat it. It tastes real good. Then that one from the north just pretty much rain. Now, I started to take it out. And this Easter flower to the north or south was going down. Now, I said, all right. He said, if you refuse to eat that, the baby will die. I took that in the mouth, shoot it, and swallow it. Real quick, and as I swallowed, the one to the south raised up. This is the one from the north. And he looked at me, vanished from my sight. I stood there, I ran outside. I said, brother, come forward. Sister Isaac, and all of you, come here. Get a hold of father and mother and say, that's the Lord of the Lord. Your baby shall live. They call for me, God, doctor, don't give it up. They hadn't rushed it since they've been there. It's so bad. Concussion of the brain and everything. So that was the relation in the worship while you said it's going to die. And so they called out of the house, and the woman is taking care of the other little child. So they were in the hospital. They had an emergency call. The baby was dying a few moments ago, and they rushed to the hospital. She called the hospital. And the mother ran up the phone weeping. She said, Miss Isaac, she said, Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, your child shall live and not die. She said, oh, Sister Isaacson, about 5 minutes ago, we were watching for the light to go.
And all of us, here come the marrow, the skin, the bones, and everything. All of us,
oh, God, we're unworthy.
someday it'll be over, won't it, Father? Then we'll all go together at your big welcome table. As of tonight, sitting here in this audience, great men and women who fought the battles of life. See some of them stricken in sickness, some of them age. And I think some night when it's all over, we gather up in your house where it won't be raining. But the power of God reigns. We'll set at the table, the welcome table. May we all gather there as unbroken families, Lord. Grant if everyone present here tonight be there with a room called. I look across the table and see some of them. These old veterans. These saints of God. We'll be said that we'll have to cry a little. Just to reach across the table and get one of them to the hand and say you remember Cleveland when we had the meeting. Weep. Then the king will come out in his beauty. Walk down along the table and take his nail scarred hand. Wipe all tears from his eyes and don't cry no more. It's all over now. There's no more sickness. You'll never have to have another healing campaign. There'll be no more weary nights. It's all over. No more hunger. You're all here. We'll see you look at courage. Out of this world of chaos. Into the marvelous light of the gospel of the Son of God. Grant it here, Father. May times and others be done tonight. But imagine it by him who we love, for we ask for it in his name. Amen. From Q1 to Q15, if you stand in line to my right and your left, everyone else will make it to school.
Believe, aren't you, sister? Just have faith.
for your boy, isn't it?
Boy has heart trouble, isn't
he? All right.
Haven't you just recently become a Christian, too?
Also. You'll believe me if I tell you something? You've already done the thing to cause the boy to be healed. Don't doubt nothing, just believe. You believe I'll ask God for you, and you'll be able to take the boy and go home, and you'll be all right if I'll ask you. Father, a little lad like the sheriff's going to die if something isn't done for him. I know that you promised that you would find on earth what we found. And I pray that you'll find the spirit of the enemy that's trying to take that child's life. May this newly convert mother, the child, be happy and healthy the rest of her days. For I bless them in the name of thy Son, now, Jesus. Mother, take your boy and go home. Don't be well. You, brother, sitting right behind you, all weary and broke down with TB. Isn't that right? You go home to your real home. Just have faith. Don't doubt. Believe with all your heart. God will make whole any role to have faith and believe. You believe that?
Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, leave the woman.
All right, sister, look this way, please.
Thank the Lord, you're blessed, man. You could be healed of that back trouble if you just believe. You believe? Stand on your feet, then, for Christ is already in with you of it. Amen. 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 All right. Good evening, sir. Let's have your hand, my brother. Without your help, totally
impossible for her to exist, but thou art here to help her. And I bless her now in the name of Jesus Christ for her healing. May it leave her, never come again. May she go home singing, happy, praising God, and may it cause an old-fashioned revival up in that part of Indiana. For I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. All right. Look this way now with all your heart. God bless you. Go on your own, write your testimony. God is making you well. God bless you, sister. Let's say praise the Lord. Weakener. All right, everybody be reverent. All right. The man is, and this man is in worse condition. Made you weak, didn't it, sister? It's okay. Any power that can heal a cancer, or straighten a crippled limb, or can bring a man from death to life, it isn't just to be looked at. Life. Now, the man here, very hard of hearing. And he's got something in his wrist that's cutting off circulation of his wrist, causing his hands to be stiff and numb. All right, bow your head, everyone. Our Heavenly Father brought in Jesus from the grave. I ask you to be merciful to this man. Satan has harmed him. A death spirit come up on him. Cause him to walk before a vehicle somewhere and be killed. Shorten his days. Cutting off the circulation through his hands, stiffen none of his hands. But he comes tonight, Father, as a believer, making testimony great in the community that he lives in. May his testimony cause a revival, getting aged. Just a little while to work for Jesus. And may he be able, by his testimony, to win many, many souls to you. Grant him this opportunity, Father. We're taught that all things work together for good, for them that love you. Help me now in this challenge of faith against Satan. Thou demon power that has bound this, our brother, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, come out from him. I'll go on record, the vibration blessing at this moment. All right, can you raise your head? Right now? Don't you say, don't you? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? All right, move your hand up now, please. Touch your hand back and forth like this. God bless you. It's over, and go home and be well, brother. Let's say, praise the Lord. Come, Father, sister. Now, dear brother, and about. You can hear a whisper or anything by morning or day after tomorrow. Then you're going to go to almost completely deaf again. Just keep praising God. Keep that trumpet away from you. God bless you. You got it. How do you do, sister? What if I said you got healed up sitting here in a chair? Would you believe me? Heart troubles. Well, you can move off the platform now. Well, for your faith. Let's say praise the Lord. He's sure to make known his secrets to do all things well. How do you do, sister dear? You believe with all your heart? I know what's wrong with you, but you haven't yet received your healing. But you have two things wrong with you. Another one coming in. Honey, so you're trying to have faith, aren't you? You're just resting yourself, aren't you? But that is the set of yourself, sister, that I believe. It's simply what you can make yourself to. It's just what this simple faith just. What color is my shirt? Why? Now, you have a sense of sight that says it's right. Now, if your face says, I'm going to be healed right now, it's saying, is this gorgeous as well as your sight says that shirt's white? It's over. You believe? All your heart. I'll have to be honest with you, Sister King. I would like to see you kneel right there, but won't you look at my hand there, see how it's turning red and little white things running over it? I'm going to take your hand off, right? Put my hand off. It isn't there now. I'm going to take your other hand. Don't hold nothing in this hand. Over here. Put this hand here. It's not there now, is it? Now, you're just as much human in this hand as you are in that hand, aren't you? But that he told me to take the patient's right hand, my left hand, which is near my heart, and I do it with all my heart. Now look, I want you to watch. I see my hand, I watch your get down. I stick your hand right back the same way that way. Look at that. You got a man? Now, sister, that's the power of Satan. You have a female disorder, isn't it? It's almost to a cancer. I want to ask you a question. Now, that was just a question I asked her. Was it true, sister? I told you, that's right. It's true. This is a secret. I couldn't speak before the audience. Believe me, with all your heart and being healed, will you do this? That's our head, everyone. Father, we thank thee for thy mercy and kindness. Bless our dear sister now. May the power of the enemy leave her. She's trying, Lord, trying to have faith, and she comes to thy servant to help her in faith, to intercede for her. And I'm blending my faith with her. And I go in this channel now of faith to challenge this demon that's bound it. Satan, you who bound this poor little woman to take her life, I come in this challenge of faith in the name of Jesus Christ, claiming the gift of divine healing ministered to me by an angel. Come out from the woman through Jesus Christ's name. Now, amen. Very clever. Now, before I raise my eyes, or look, sister, you look at my hand. Is it normal? It's like the other is now? Now, look, sister dear, something happened, hasn't it? Now, you know that beyond a shadow of doubt. Standing here telling you things of your life. Is that right? What was wrong with you? Now, what? Now, there's my hand. Just the same. Now, take yours. Just the same. Now, put this other just the way you had it all going. Something's happened, hasn't it? Well, you're healed, sister. That's what it is. You're going your own rejoicing. Everybody be just as reverent as you can be. Believe with all your heart. Different. Notice. Right there. Right. Bring the lady on. Even if it comes to wait for rainfall. All your troubles in the bank. Isn't that right? You believe with all your heart? You believe I'll have God, he'll give you his freedom again? All right. Let us bow our heads, if you will. All right, we're going to the bell here. He's serving you in the capacity here to tent for thou hast so ordained that she should do this. We thank him for her healing. Pray, God, that she'll be a great testimony in her community to Jesus. God bless you, sister. You know when it happens, right? It's gone. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, my. What you say, the power of the Holy Spirit is number two. All right, bring the lady. And everybody be real reverent. Now, you've had trouble in your life. Now, quite a bit of it. You've had an operation in your life. And you've been bothered with other troubles that you know what you're speaking of. You understand? Is that all true? All true. All right. Your faith is at the right place, sister. Just at the right place to be healed. If you just accept it, now will you do it? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, bless this thy handmaid, Lord, that she may be free of this demon tonight that's binding her. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave the woman.
Now's the time for you to act on what I'm saying. Raise your hands up. What did he just tell? I did. What did he just tell?
There you are. You're off the riders.
Bless you. Let's say praise the Lord. Well, the Lord. You'll be well the rest of your day.
You'll be well the rest of your day.
Everybody.
Good evening. Good evening.
Have a very square, straight look at
you.
What are you?
You think it's wonderful. You believe that what I've told you is the truth? All the things that you've heard are the truth? It is. I mean what you've heard me say here. What you were thinking, and I hadn't told you what was wrong with you. But I will be able to do that. For he promised me that I will. And I know I'll be all right. Something you have in your heart, don't you?
Remember the female star.
They have to say those things, but when the Holy Spirit says so, you've got to say it. God bless you. All right. Come out of here, sister. Go off the platform and be well of your tumor, and God bless you, and you go on off. Let's go praise the Lord. You breathe with all your heart. Lady, your little boy is about 50% different now than what he was because his light is beginning coming around. So you can take him home now if you want to. Be well. How many would like to receive their healing right now? Now remember, friends, if God is sure to reveal things and to tell things, and if anything ever happens to make you doubt that, God has mercy. That's all that anything can become. Isn't that right? God has mercy. Now you must believe with all your heart in order to remain or retain your healing. There's some handkerchiefs here he wants me to pray over. Yes, this party here, I just prayed over this. There's somebody in Hollander, Hotel Hollander. Hollander. All right, this is their handkerchief laying right here. They may come and receive it. I just had it at the room a while ago. Or, what's this? A telegram? What's the name? Please pray for a healing, Charles Conn. All this is to me. Now, here's a prayer request. I just before, let's bow our heads while we pray over you. Our Heavenly Father, you know all things and can do all things. And we're committing these letters to you now, these requests, laying on this platform, on the pulpit, that you will heal every one of the people as they represent. There's many that's deeply and sincerely in distress and in need. God, hear the prayer of your children as we're binding ourselves together now. And with one accord, we pray that you heal every one of these people and make them well. Through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now,
How many wants, well, please, if we'd ask God just now, you could have your healing. Now look, it would take about an hour to get through one from or more of this. Now God knows all that. Now see, when here's what it is, friend. When you go to moving like that, it begins to seem that it's just, you have to sing it out, and when everybody's looking, just imagine just about 3,000 things buzzing against you at one time. You have to almost get the person right before you when it's coming like that, before you know just what is. But please, if I have found grace in your sight, if you believe me, and God who I stand before knows that about the gift and the vision is true, so help me, dear Lord Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I leave this earth. And I don't want to go there and try to get in as an imposter. I wouldn't get in. And I'm testifying of the truth. And nightly, I feel condemned by having you bring people up to you, tell them what is wrong, and bring. And it makes the people kind of get in this place. You have to stand out to get all the people into the prayer room. That isn't necessary, dear friend. Now, I know there's people go through the country and says they're the only one that has the right to pray for the sick and so forth. Now, that is an error. Any Christian has the right to pray for the sick. The Bible said, confess your faults one to that and pray one for the other. Everybody. Your pastor here has just as much right to pray for the sick as I or anyone else. You don't have to follow healing campaigns. Sometimes in healing campaigns you'll see the things going to pass. Someone making a testimony of healing, it stirs your faith. You see signs. But do you remember the angel of the Lord that as the prophet Moses was given two signs to prove to Israel that his testimony was true, so will you be given two signs. Have you heard it before? You've heard the story. And Moses performed those signs one time. That was enough. Is that right? Here went Israel falling to the promised land. I trust that God will give you grace for the next 5 minutes to believe that I'm telling you the truth. I say this upon the merits of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And the testimony of the gift to confirm it, that Christ's attitude is exactly the same towards every one of you. He's here to heal you this night. Maybe you might not have the spontaneous faith to bring something, it's a miracle right to you. You may not have that kind of faith. But Jesus said if you had the faith like a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, be moved. And by and by it would come to pass. It would vanish it away, but by and by it would come to pass. Now the mustard seed, the reason he said that, you can mix kale, you can mix spinach, bring it together, but you can't mix mustard with nothing. It won't mix. It's just mustard to be mustard. And if you've got just the least little grain of faith, that's genuine mustard seed faith, it won't move. Stay with it. It'll bring you out. Now, some people have faith like this. Some has that much, some has that much, and some can go above their heads in miracles. But because you haven't got that much, that doesn't mean that you can't be healed. If you have the least little bit of faith, just stay right with it. It'll take you out. Will you believe that? That's the truth. God will make the answer for it if I haven't told you the truth. Can you expect it now? Upon the basis of God's little girl, you've been healed for the last 20 minutes, honey, sitting there, a little Spanish girl sitting there. And so don't worry about that. I see you healed a while ago. Now, notice, look, every person in here can receive their healing right now. When you will believe that you're healed just the same as you believe, that's why. Believe that you're healed, accept it, and say, thank you, Lord. Walk right away and take it, accept it. Upon those basis, and be healed. How many will believe that now? Say amen. Amen. All right. I want you to stand up while we have prayer.
Look. There's a man sitting here that my heart bleeds for. Come here. Are you a real believer in Christ, brother? You usher, which I see you are. Come here just a minute. How you feeling, sister? Better? All right. That's the way to accept it, old. Go home and be well now. You're out of your wheelchair and you go home and be made perfect. How do you have to lay your hands on her now? God bless you, sister. Your faith has saved you. A little Mennonite woman. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, thou art here to heal the sick, to perform miracles, to cast out demons, to reveal the secrets of the people's hearts, to call demons by their name, to heal all manner of sickness and diseases among the people. Lord God, we thank you for everything that thou hast done this night, and pray, God, that this will be a great night, that every person in the building may rise as this woman out of a wheelchair just now, standing by faith, believing. God, may they go home healed, every one of them, and made completely whole. I now ask this blessing of their healing through Jesus Christ's name. Satan, thou ungodly spirit, you that tries to bind people with unbelief, tries to make them doubt, you are a loser. You're defeated. I now plead the blood of Christ around every believer, that you, foul, venomous spirit, leave this audience in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out from the people. Liberate them.